Dear visitor, we welcome you to the Church of Holy Mary of the Dying. This guide was created by the Jonathan Livingston Association, ODV, with the patronage of the municipality of Carini, thanks to the funds of the National Recovery and Resilience Plan of the Ministry of Culture, included in Mission 1, Digitization, Innovation, Competitiveness, Culture, and Tourism, and Component 3, Tourism and Culture 4.0. We are honored that you have chosen to visit this church. We will accompany you inside and tell you its story. Choose your language and enjoy this exceptional experience. It is a treasure trove of history, art, and spirituality located in the heart of Carini. Built after the year 1539, this church has played a central role in the religious life of the city, hosting the confraternity of the Church of the Holy Mary of the Dying, a religious organization founded to assist the dying and provide spiritual support in the final moments of life. Its structure, frescoes, and decorations reflect the influence of the Sicilian Baroque style, enriched by late Baroque elements that make every detail a masterpiece. The church was initially built to serve the Confraternity of Holy Mary of the Dying, officially established on the 1st of June, 1643. Although the sacred structure had already been present for about a century, the Brotherhood was distinguished by its dual branch, male and female, and by the involvement of members of the local aristocracy. Among these, the three daughters of the Prince of Carini, Vincenzo III, La Grua Talamanca, actively contributed to the life of the congregation. The role of the Brotherhood was not limited to the religious sphere. The brothers also engaged in charitable activities, such as assisting in the preparation of the deceased, who were housed in the crypt located under the church. The La Grua Talamanca family, one of the most influential in Carini, played a central role in the history of the church. Vincenzo III, La Grua Talamanca, in particular, was probably the patron of some of the frescoes that still adorn the walls and vault of the nave. The presence of members of the family and the Brotherhood is evidence of the strong link between the church and the religious and artistic traditions of the time. The structure of the church developed over the centuries, adapting to the liturgical requirements and artistic tastes of the different periods. The church was initially built in the 16th century as a simple rectangular structure, with a single room used for religious services and for the burial of the brothers in the crypt below. Later, between the 17th and 18th centuries, the interior of the church was enriched with stucco decorations, probably made by the school of Giacomo Serpotta, which added a theatrical and dynamic dimension to the space. The large frescoes on the vault and side walls were commissioned, depicting episodes from the life of the Virgin Mary, and are the work of artists such as Filippo Tancredi and Filippo Randazzo. The exterior of the Church of the Holy Mary of the Dying, located along the current Avenue Roma, also known as the ancient Old Course, is an example of how sacred architecture can combine structural simplicity with decorative details that invite the visitor to discover the artistic wonders of the interior. The main facade, rebuilt in the neo-Romanesque style at the beginning of the 20th century, reflects the desire to update the external appearance of the church while maintaining its original elegance and sobriety. It is characterized by a symmetrical and linear architectural composition, enriched by highly refined ornamental elements. The facade has a gabled roof that harmoniously frames the entire building. The triple decorative order gives the structure a sense of verticality and harmony. The symmetry is emphasized by the two small portals, each adorned with simple but elegant geometric frames, which represent the main access to the vestibule, anticipating the internal subdivision of the single nave. In the center of the facade, there is a rectangular window, framed by decorative motifs that emphasize its simplicity and its function as a focal point. Above it, a blind rose window acts as an ornamental element, adding balance to the overall composition. On either side of the facade stand the two bell towers, harmoniously integrated into the structure. These towers, although simple in decoration, add a vertical note and recall Romanesque architecture. But now, kind visitor, I invite you to continue your visit inside the church. Entering the Church of the Holy Mary of the Dying means immersing yourself in a world of art and spirituality. The interior, characterized by the decorative richness typical of Sicilian Baroque, immediately strikes you for its opulence and its ability to involve the visitor in a unique sensorial and spiritual experience. The church has a simple layout but is highly functional and symbolic. The interior has a single nave, culminating in a rectangular choir that houses the high altar. The linearity of the layout creates a sense of depth, accentuated by the ornaments and frescoes that guide the gaze towards the choir. The hall is accessed through a rectangular vestibule, which gradually introduces the magnificence of the interior. Two small side entrances lead directly to the main room. Look at the walls and vaults. They are decorated with golden stuccos, made by the school of Giacomo Serpada, a master of Sicilian Baroque. These brilliant details capture the light, giving the environment an almost heavenly atmosphere. Golden cherubs in various poses adorn the walls and cornices, bringing movement and joy to the entire space. Festoons of pomegranates, acanthus, and bunches of fruit decorate the cornices, symbols of abundance and spirituality. At a height of about 2 meters, a perimeter cornice separates the space that houses four eagles in different positions, surmounted by cherubs, who seem to be supporting the frames made with cherubs and acanthus leaves, within which splendid frescoes are painted. The church is decorated with a series of scenes depicting the life of the Virgin Mary, the central theme of the pictorial decoration. These masterpieces are attributed to two great artists of the Sicilian Baroque, Filippo Tancredi and Filippo Randazzo. Each side of the nave has three main frescoes. The natural light, filtered through the side windows, emphasizes the bright colors and narrative details of each scene. Starting from the right side, just after the vestibule, we can admire the Visitation. The scene depicts the meeting between the Virgin Mary and Saint Elizabeth. Mary is shown in an attitude of humility and grace, while Elizabeth welcomes her with joy. The angels above the two figures add a sense of celestial movement. The play of light and shadow accentuates the intimacy of the moment, while the pastel colors make the scene delicate and spiritual. Next is the fresco of the Presentation of Jesus at the temple. The scene shows Mary and Joseph presenting the infant Jesus to the high priest Simeon. The priest holds the child with an expression of veneration, while the parents show an attitude of devotion. The work represents the consecration of Jesus, emphasizing his divine mission. Below this fresco is a small stucco theater depicting the agony of Saint Joseph, assisted by Jesus and Mary. The last fresco on the right-hand side depicts the Assumption of Mary. In the fresco, Mary is depicted ascending to heaven, surrounded by flying angels. The apostles, positioned below, observe the miracle with expressions of wonder. The use of golden and blue tones creates an ethereal and transcendent atmosphere, enhancing the theme of divine glorification. There are three more frescoes on the left side. The first, just after the main altar, depicts the Immaculate Conception. Here, Mary is shown with her hands joined, surrounded by angels and Marian symbols such as the moon, the stars, and the snake under her feet. The work exalts the purity and sanctity of Mary, using bright colors and lighting that emphasizes the centrality of the figure. The second fresco represents the moment of the birth of Mary, with Saint Anne holding the newborn baby in her arms, surrounded by women who joyfully assist her. The figures are arranged in a circular composition that guides the gaze towards the newborn virgin, a symbol of hope and purity. Below this fresco is a stucco theater depicting the Dormitio Virginis, or the Dormition of the Virgin Mary surrounded by angels. The last fresco on the left wall next to the vestibule depicts the Presentation of the Virgin in the temple. It shows the young Mary, accompanied by her parents, climbing the steps of the temple. The scene is full of dynamism, with Mary in the center in an attitude of determination and grace. The scene represents Mary's offering to God, a central theme in her spirituality. All the frescoes are set in a decorative context that amplifies their beauty and their meaning. Around each fresco, there are garlands of flowers and fruit, symbols of abundance and eternal life. The cherubs above the frescoes add a sense of joy and lightness. The cornices that house the works are decorated with floral and geometric motifs, creating a sense of continuity between the different scenes. As you walk along the nave of the church, the frescoes guide your gaze and your spirit on a journey through the life of the Virgin Mary. Each scene, with its narrative and symbolic details, invites reflection and contemplation. The frescoes on the side walls of the Church of Holy Mary of the Dying are not only works of art, but a true visual account of the Christian faith. The mastery of artists such as Filippo Tancredi and Filippo Randazzo is reflected in the beauty and spiritual depth of each scene, making these works an essential part of any visit to the church. But now, kind visitor, I invite you to gaze upon the fresco on the vault of the central nave, which depicts the coronation of the Virgin. Mary is depicted being crowned Queen of Heaven by the Holy Trinity, with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dominating the composition. Angels surround the Virgin, creating a circular movement that draws the gaze towards the center of the scene. The bright colors and golden hues accentuate the sacredness of the scene, while the contrast between light and shadow gives it depth and dynamism. Around this central representation, just below, other frescoes are arranged symmetrically. Looking towards the altar in the center, above the archway is the fresco of the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel to Mary. The archangel is kneeling on the left, with a solemn expression and a gesture indicating the divine message. The Virgin Mary is on the right, wearing a blue cloak and a red tunic, traditional colors that symbolize divinity, blue, and humanity, red. In the center, at the top, inside a gilded Baroque frame, is a white dove, representing the Holy Spirit, radiating a golden light and surrounded by blue clouds. Moving our gaze to the right of this fresco, in the corner supported by an angel, there is a golden medallion depicting the evangelist Saint Mark, and above him, a half-length portrait of Saint Olivia. Further on, above a golden shell supported by an angel, in the lunette, is a fresco of the Ascension of Christ the Lord. Christ ascends to heaven among clouds and angels, and in the lower part, the apostles are represented in prayer. In the next scene on the right, once again above a golden shell supported by an angel, there is a fresco of the Nativity. The Virgin is in the center, supporting the cloth on which the baby Jesus is lying, and behind her on the right is Saint Joseph with his ochre yellow cloak. Around them are the shepherds, offering their gifts to the child. Further on, in the corner, an angel holds up a roundel that is finely decorated with stucco work and the fresco of the evangelist Saint John. The combination of a green tunic and a red cloak is common in depictions of the saint, where green symbolizes hope and revelation, while red indicates divine love. Above it is a half-length portrait of Saint Rosalie. On the back wall there are two cherubs holding a scroll with the inscription Silentium. On either side there are two frescoes representing the Archangel Michael on the left and the guardian angel on the right. Continuing on, looking up towards the corner, an angel is holding up a roundel finely decorated with stucco work in which is positioned the fresco of the evangelist Luke. The light tunic with the dark cloak recalls the classic iconography of the saint. Above it is a half bust depicting Saint Nympha. In the next scene on the right, again above a golden shell held by an angel, we see the fresco of the Adoration of the Magi. The Virgin Mary, dressed in a blue cloak and a red tunic, is seated with the baby Jesus in her arms, in a gesture of offering and welcome. The baby Jesus is facing one of the Magi who is kneeling before him, as a sign of acceptance of the gift and of the veneration due to him. Saint Joseph, wearing a darker robe and in a slightly backward position, observes the scene with a reflective expression, typical of iconographic representations of the adoration. The first wise man, an old man with a white beard, is kneeling in front of Jesus and appears to be offering a gift. He is wearing a decorated golden cloak, typical of royal robes. The other two wise men are standing, waiting their turn to offer their gifts. They are dressed in sumptuous clothes and have expressions of wonder and devotion. Next to it is another fresco, Pentecost. The apostles, together with Mary, receive the Holy Spirit in the form of tongues of fire, a scene rich in symbolism and movement. The Virgin is seated in the center, dressed in a red tunic and a blue cloak, the traditional colors of her iconography. The apostles are arranged in a semicircle, with gestures of amazement and contemplation, some with their hands raised or resting on their chests. Above, we see the dove of the Holy Spirit, symbol of the divine presence, surrounded by a golden light that spreads over the scene. Further on, in the corner, an angel holds a roundel finely decorated with stucco work and depicting a fresco of Saint Matthew. The saint is shown with his book of the gospel open in a writing position, since according to tradition, his gospel was the first to be written. Above him is a half-length portrait of Saint Rosalia. The light emphasizes the colors and gilding of the frescoes, creating an evocative contrast with the shadows of the stucco decorations. The overall effect is that of a heavenly environment designed to elevate the spirit and bring the faithful closer to the divine dimension. But now, kind visitor, I invite you to go to the choir of the church with the main altar. This space in the Church of Holy Mary of the Dying represents the sacred and artistic heart of the building. Rich in decorations, frescoes, and sculptures, this space harmoniously combines spiritual message and visual beauty, involving visitors in an experience that stimulates both religious contemplation and admiration for Baroque art. The rectangular choir is the natural culmination of the single nave. The layout of the space is designed to focus attention on the high altar and the pictorial and sculptural decoration above it. The choir is framed by a large triumphal arch decorated with golden stucco, which acts as a transition between the nave and the space of the high altar. Above the choir, a semicircular dome decorated with symbolic motifs, which adds depth and solemnity to the space. But let's discover this marvelous treasure in detail. The high altar is a true masterpiece, surmounted by an altarpiece depicting the Holy Mary of the Dying. The altarpiece is attributed to Rosalia Novelli, daughter of Pietro Novelli, with possible interventions by her father. The work depicts Mary in a moment of intense spirituality, surrounded by angels and the faithful. The warm colors and golden tones give the work a sense of luminosity and transcendence. The composition is balanced and harmonious, with figures arranged in a pyramidal arrangement that guides the gaze towards the Madonna. The canvas to the right of the choir depicts the Holy Family. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are depicted in a moment of family intimacy, emphasizing their central role in Christian spirituality. The canvas to the left of the choir depicts Saint Joseph dreaming. The artist has depicted Joseph during the dream in which the angel appears to guide him. The pictorial details emphasize the serenity and sacredness of the moment. If you look a little further ahead and upwards, you'll see the dome, one of the most fascinating architectural and decorative elements of the complex. This Baroque masterpiece, enriched with frescoes, ornamental motifs, and symbols of great spiritual depth, embodies the essence of Marian devotion and Sicilian artistic tradition. At the base of the dome, among the decorations in gilded stucco, there are four frescoes framed by gilded stucco, depicting male figures with solemn expressions and hieratic postures. These representations, located in the pendentives of the dome, depict the four prophets. In the first lunette at the top left, King David with his crown and lyre. In the second lunette at the top left, the prophet Moses depicted with the tablets of the law. In the first lunette at the top right, King Solomon is depicted with his index finger extended as a sign of his judgment. In the second lunette at the top right, the prophet Elijah is depicted holding a flame. In the center of each side of the base of the dome, between the golden stucco work and the angelic figures, there are medallions supported by putti with Latin inscriptions. Civitas Dei, which means City of God. The inscription PS 86 refers to Psalm 86, which speaks of mercy, justice, and divine protection. Spes Vitae, which means hope of life, and the inscription below probably refers to a verse from the book of Sirach, which speaks of divine justice. In me gratia, which means in me is the grace, and the writing below recalls chapter 24 of Sirach, which describes divine grace as a source of love and wisdom. Above these elements stands the octagonal timbre, which acts as the base of the dome. It is decorated with frescoes and painted architectural elements that simulate columns and frames in perspective, with four decorated niches inside, which are frescoed statues representing the four allegories: faith, fortitude, temperance, and prudence, interspersed with windows of light framed by stucco. The dome is decorated with a large fresco of ascension and heavenly glory, with angelic figures and saints immersed in clouds in a circular movement, typical of the Baroque. At the base of the dome, in the corners of the octagon, there are frescoed medallions depicting female figures representing eight sibyls. The central oculus may once have been open to allow natural light to filter in. The use of perspective creates an illusionistic effect of openness towards the sky. At the end of the church, accessible via a staircase in the vestibule, is the crypt, located under the main nave of the Church of Holy Mary of the Dying. A suggestive environment that combines functional, symbolic, and spiritual aspects. This space was intended for the burial of the Brothers of the Confraternity of Holy Mary of the Dying, a religious order known for assisting the dying. The crypt is a significant testimony to Sicilian funerary traditions and offers an additional dimension to the understanding of the religious and social life of Carini. The crypt has a simple layout, but one full of meaning, reflecting the sacred and utilitarian function of the space. The crypt is a rectangular space with a lowered vaulted ceiling to ensure the structural stability of the church above. The limestone floor shows signs of wear and centuries of history. One of the most distinctive features of the crypt are the collatoi, structures typical of Sicilian funerary tradition. The collatoi are niches with sloping seats carved into the walls of the crypt, designed for drying corpses. This process, which could last for months, reduced the bodies to dry bones, which were then collected in special containers. This method of burial reflected the belief in the importance of purifying the body before divine judgment. It was also a practice dictated by hygiene and space requirements, particularly relevant in densely populated urban contexts. Although the crypt does not have elaborate decorations like the main nave, its space and symbolic elements convey a sense of sacredness and contemplation. The crypt was closely linked to the life of the Confraternity of Holy Mary of the Dying. This space served not only as a burial place, but also as an area for commemorative ceremonies and prayers for the deceased. The Brotherhood, consisting of a male and a female branch, reserved separate sections for the burial of its members. Details on the management of burials, including the names of the brothers, moral rules, and commemorative rituals, can be found in the registers of the Brotherhood known as Rollo. The crypt of the Church of Holy Mary of the Dying is a precious testimony to the Sicilian funerary tradition and the spirituality of the Brotherhood. This place is not only a relic of the past, but a symbol of the deep connection between life, death, and faith that characterized the community of Carini. Dear visitor, we thank you for visiting this place and invite you to continue your journey to discover the history and architecture of the city of Carini.